As far as anyone knows, it is purely coincidence that a timber sale named Second Show is now going to get a second look from the Federal Bureau of Land Management. BLM proposed the sale for forest land northeast of Springfield and actually sold the timber. The process was moving along, but Second Show ran into stiff opposition from conservation groups, and in the face of that opposition, BLM chose to put the process on hold for now, pending further environmental review. One of the conservation groups in opposition is Cascadia Wildlands, based in Eugene, where Nick Cady is the executive director and our guest. Nick, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So bring us up to date on the sale and what some of the issues with it are. It sounds like it's in a fairly remote area.
It's actually not very remote. It's just outside of the Eugene-Springfield area. It's a very popular recreation area. It's pretty close to town. Shotgun Creek Recreation Area, it's right there.
Okay, and what were the parts of the sale that troubled you the most?
You know, it was an extremely large sale, and it was all clear cutting. So it was about 260 acres of mature forest clear cutting, and this was the largest clear cutting we'd seen in Lane County for 20 years on public lands. And so it was a pretty alarming project. And the other troubling thing about this sale was that it occurred in a watershed where this was some of the only older forests left. And this is all second growth. This is previously logged forest, so it's not pristine old growth. But because of its relative proximity to Eugene, it was one of the first areas logged historically. And so there's just not a lot of old forest there. All the rivers there are, you know, not properly functioning habitat for fish, and it's a pretty hammered watershed overall.
Hammered by previous sales, you mean, that sort of thing?
Yes, by logging and road construction.
All right. The terminology, Nick, does get a little wiggly. One person's selective cut or sanitation cut is another person's clear cut. I mean, how much timber figured to be cut here?
Right. So to make it clear, I guess, about 2 trees per acre are going to be left across the project area. And so it's going to resemble very much private land clear cutting. And so you know, that's generally referred to as regeneration harvest or clear cutting, but that's how it's going to look. There's going to be 2 trees reserved per acre. And those trees are going to be grouped in certain areas. So they're going to be grouped around rivers or, mainly around the riparian areas, around the rivers.
So anything further away from creeks would probably not be standing timber?
Yes, exactly.
So regeneration harvest, that is the inside the biz term for clear cuts?
Yes, that is the biz term.
Okay. So most of the logging in the Northwest Forest Plan is supposed to take place on matrix lands. Is this within the matrix?
It is within the matrix. It's within a slightly nuanced portion of the matrix. There's kind of a ton of different overlays, and this is within, it's called a connectivity block. And they're supposed to be logging these forests on a 120-year rotation. So every 120 years it gets logged so that it provides mature forest habitat for about 40 years, from 80 to 120. And so this one's getting logged just as it's turning kind of 80 years old, just as it's serving its mature forest part.
When we talk about these rotations, is the idea that you provide habitat here for the critters that need it, and then when something else grows up, you can move the critters to that habitat because you're going to cut down this stuff? Is it that kind of like we're going to keep moving where you are?
That is the theory. So the Northwest Forest Plan was this landscape-wide approach, and so the idea of the matrix was that certain parts of it would serve habitat at certain times, although ultimately these forests would get logged.
All right. So concerns obviously about the lack of trees and anything besides. I mean, the clear cutting seems like plenty of reason enough to have an issue with this. But were there other things about the way this sale was proposed that troubled you?
There was early on in the planning process, the BLM had really shrugged off a lot of our concerns when we provided comments. But we weren't. This isn't a high priority area for our organization. This is second growth forest. Like, this is stuff that's been clear cut previously. And generally, we only focused on old growth forests or native, you know, naturally regenerated forests that have burned, you know, 150 years ago. But it was really the local community that was like, this is our last recreation area. A lot of the residents are Marcola, and we had an unprecedented level of kind of community feedback. There was like 700 public comments on this timber sale, and people were really upset because this was apparently a very popular area. And so we've really been working with local residents. This lawsuit is really a function of their involvement and participation.
So without their interest, I mean, do you think Cascadia Wildlands would have gotten into this?
You know what? It's hard to say. Hindsight's a little hard to go back.
Sure.
This is a very large clear cut. And so it definitely drew our attention very early on. And if there was a very glaring legal deficiency in the project. And so because this watershed had gone through such extensive logging and road building, the BLM had planned this large clear cutting, the second show project, in conjunction with another, I believe it was 1,600 acres of commercial thinning, pretty intensive thinning, and 28 miles of road construction, which is an unheard of level of road construction. And they were planned together, but they didn't analyze the effects of these two projects together. And so the overall effect on the watershed would have been very significant, and they completely overlooked that. And that's kind of a basic environmental law principle under federal law. You have to view projects together that are going to occur in the same area and at the same time.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
All right. The question was then how often you do take these things together, because it seems like some projects, if they were separate from others, might be acceptable on some levels. But then when you get them next to other things that have happened just down the road, they become less acceptable.
Yeah, generally, we don't worry too much about projects that have happened in the past. You know, that's not a big deal because the agency is able to total up, is able to go look. You know, for example, let's take water quality in a stream. An agency is able to stick a thermometer in a stream and tell what the water temperature is, you know, over a period of time. And that's how they determine, you know, what temperature the stream has been for the past. And these are the effects the past logging projects have had on that stream. But with projects that are going to be going on at the same time, if you don't kind of predict and analyze those effects together, they get kind of overlooked. And so what you're worried about is the straw that breaks the camel's back. You're not sure which project, you know, one step too far is going to violate all the standards in their forest plan.
Nick Cady's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the legal director at the conservation group Cascadia Wildlands, which stands in opposition to the second show timber sale, even took it to court. We'll talk about that aspect of things in just a moment. The BLM is backing off the second show timber sale. You can join us in this discussion at 800-838-3760 around the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So you did file an administrative appeal, is that right, or attempted to?
Yes, yes. So we filed an administrative appeal, and we certified mailed it in. This is kind of a funny, just ridiculous story. But so we certified mailed in this protest about six days prior to the kind of deadline. This is kind of standard procedure by statute. You have to send everything in certified mail. They won't accept email and kind of make it an intentionally difficult process to publicly comment. And so we're not sure what happened, if like a staffer was on vacation or how this worked out, but the BLM claimed not to have received the protest for, I think, another 16 days later, and said it got like lost in the mail, and then denied our protest. And our protest was really, when I said 700 people commented on the sale, so that was like the kind of open public scoping comment process, which is a fairly open, you can send emails, it can be oral, written testimony. But this protest period is kind of, we gather up all these people's comments and concerns and put them into an official administrative appeal document. And that's what they denied because of this claimed postal error. And so that really upset us. And that was one of the claims in our lawsuit, was that rejecting our protest and appeal and ignoring people's concerns was illegal.
All right, so you did go to court.
Yes, yes.
And go ahead.
Yeah, so we ultimately filed a lawsuit, and the lawsuit involved one of the claims. There was two claims. One of them was ignoring this protest, this appeal of all these people's concerns was illegal, because they have to take into account public comment. The second was the cumulative effects claim, which is the one I described earlier, where you have to view an ongoing timber sale, the effects of that timber sale, in conjunction with other nearby projects.
And so was there any filing in court in response from the BLM? Was there any court hearing, and was there any actual step taken within the boundaries of the courtroom?
No. So what happened is we know generally after you file a complaint, the government will file an answer and they respond to different allegations that you make. And so we never got an answer. We never got any sort of response at all. We received a call from the Department of Justice, BLM's lawyers, and they said they were going to just pull the project and attempt to create and reach a new decision on the project once they analyze all these ongoing timber sales together.
So that's about what you wanted, isn't it?
Yes. So we will get, we have a feeling the effects are going to be significant when they analyze all this logging and road building together. And so this is the outcome that we wanted. And hopefully they'll make a good decision. But what makes this process difficult is that they've already sold this sale, I believe it's to Seneca Jones. And so there's kind of a bias, more or less, or a pre-decided outcome for this new analysis.
Because you got a business.
What we fear.
Yeah, you got a business waiting on it that's already committed money to it, essentially.
Exactly, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so I was going to ask you about that part of it. So, I mean, this is actually pretty far down the road toward actual logging taking place. Nothing had moved on the land yet, but the sale had been closed with the timber company.
Yes. So the way the BLM works is they don't officially finalize a project, the Bureau of Land Management. The way they work is they don't finalize a project until they actually auction it off to a purchaser. And so that's kind of the final step. And so we can't even challenge a project until they do that. And so they auctioned the sale off to Seneca Jones, closed on the sale while we were still working up the legal documents. And so it's usually they wait to see if we are going to challenge them in court. And we generally give them heads up that this is coming so they don't sell the sale right away. But they moved pretty quickly on this sale. So that's where we're at.
All right. So BLM plans to go back and review the environmental assessment. But you're saying it's not just the environmental assessment for the second show timber sale, but they'll consider it in totality with other projects nearby?
Yeah, it's this project called the 2014 Thinnings Project, and it is really massive in scale for this area. You know, generally when you look at timber sales out in the Deschutes National Forest and kind of on the drier side, that's when you start seeing the several thousand acre timber sales where they're doing a lot of prescribed underburning to prevent forest fires and so forth. But this is heavy commercial thinning and 1,600 acres in an unheard of level of road construction in an area that's already way over-roaded. And so that's, you know, it's problematic.
Is it possible that some of the road construction is because the actual timber removal is more dispersed? I mean, if you do a clear cut, you have to build a road to the clear cut, take the trees, and boom, out you go. But if you distribute the cuttings across more of the landscape, it requires more roads, doesn't it?
Yes. So that, and they're also getting into areas where there weren't kind of roads built before, some of these last vestiges of older forests. So that's kind of what we had issues with before, is generally when there's a lot of road construction, they're getting into areas where they haven't been before. And so that's kind of one of the main problems. And this watershed is already, for salmon species, and salmon are, you know, the ODFW has been pouring, the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife has been pouring tons of money into recovering fish habitat in this area, and Shotgun Creek and Mohawk feeds right into the McKenzie River. And they're supposed to be decommissioning roads on the total across this watershed. They're already way over-roaded. It's already classified as not properly functioning fish habitat. And there's a ton of public money going into restoration. And at the same time, you have the Bureau of Land Management, which is supposed to be this public federal agency that's, you know, responsible to the coordinating with these other agencies, building tons of new roads. And it's just, we're not talking about reopening old roads. This is brand new road construction.
So restoration projects on one hand to help rehab the creeks, and on the other hand, more activity in the forest that could potentially impact the creeks.
Exactly.
So it is you, Cascadia Wildlands, and Oregon Wild was in on the lawsuit with you, is that right?
Yes, yep. We are the two plaintiffs.
Is there a particular place where you draw the line? I mean, you mentioned the fact that given that this was already cut over land about 80 years ago, though, that it wasn't like a old growth priority to you. But, I mean, so between the two groups, I mean, would you be in favor of some cutting up in this area, up where the second show sale was proposed?
Oh, yes. So this 2014 thinnings project, this big commercial thinning project, even though we had incredible heartache and gave them a ton of trouble over all the road construction, most of the logging was plantation thinning, very heavy thinning, but, you know, bringing it down to 40, 60 trees per acre, and some areas even 20 trees per acre, which is more than we'd like to see. But these are dense plantations that are serving very little ecological value, and in some cases are very fire hazards because they burn hotter and can burn older stands that are adjacent to them.
So given what you know about the topography and the geography and the road network up there, I mean, could there be a pretty good thinning project, do you think, without massive new road construction?
Oh, yes. And just to not confuse it, the 2014 thinnings project is going forward. That is not challenged here.
Right.
It's just the second show project challenge. So they are doing currently, you know, there's 1,600 acres of commercial thinning that's pumping out tons of volume going on right now. So that's not implicated in the suit. Just the mature forest clear cutting is what we've challenged.
And so, Nick, is there any deadline that the BLM, any timeline BLM has given back to say, you know, here's when we expect to have this review complete?
You know, there's not an exact timeline. I bet they'll be finished within a month or two with the supplemental analysis, but they have to go through a new decision and administrative appeal process. So that'll give us another chance to kind of raise our concerns that were not heard the first time around with the project.
All right, so more like 3-4 months, you think?
Yeah, so that could give us an opportunity to really, you know, alter how this project looks or give the BLM a chance to actually withdraw the project.
All right, it is the second show timber sale we're talking about. Nick Cady is the legal director at Cascadia Wildlands, along with Oregon Wild, which filed suit against the sale. Thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange, Nick.
Thank you so much.